Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, last Thursday's riots have put renewed focus on the government's legislative response in areas such as facial recognition technology, body cameras for Gardaí, and the much debated incitement to violence or hatred and hate offences bill. Some have warned that the events last week should not be used to rush complex and sometimes contentious legislation through the Dáil. In Cork, staff at the main library in the city centre have been forced to close twice in the last year when faced with protests. Well, our reporter Brian O'Connell joins me on all of this now. And we're going to come to the Cork library situation in a moment, Brian. But first, where do things stand with those various pieces of legislation?
Yes, well, good morning, Claire. There is, as you said, an urgency around some of these items now. I suppose the most straightforward in terms of timeline is the Recording Devices Bill. So this essentially will allow for Garda body cams, Garda CCTV and community CCTV. The update I have from the Department of Justice is this bill will be completed in the Dáil by the Minister for Justice tomorrow, Wednesday. On the facial recognition technology, I know you touched on it earlier. We discussed this on the show yesterday as well, and we could hear some of the concerns around this. There has been disagreement between government parties, for example, on some aspects of it. The situation now is the Minister for Justice has instructed her officials to expand the scope of the legislation. So that will include riots and violent disorder. I'm told the draft law is going to be ready within weeks.
And then the last one is the incitement to violence or hatred and hate offences bill. So what's the latest on that?
Well, the government intends to enact this in the coming weeks, as I understand it. So Taoiseach said in recent days that legislation we have at the moment isn't up to date for the social media age. So he says it should be obvious to anyone who doubted it that after recent events, in his view, legislation like this is now needed. We know people like Elon Musk have taken a very different view. Now, having got those updates, I did speak to Liam Herrick, who's Executive Director with the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, and I got his thoughts.
So there's a very strong constitutional right to protest in Ireland. Generally speaking, the guards have an obligation to facilitate peaceful protest. And in most instances, they do that very effectively, even with quite large protests. But it's not an absolute right to peaceful protest. If your protest ends up impacting on the rights of other people, then the guards have an obligation to manage that and to balance it. I think with regard to the hate crime and incitement to hatred legislation that's currently before the Oireachtas, there are certain aspects of it, I think, that would certainly strengthen the law and improve the situation for minority communities that are targeted by hate crime itself and hate speech. But there will still be a very challenging task for the management of demonstrations by the guards, which really will be more about how they make judgments under the Public Order Act. In regard to facial recognition technology, it's not at all clear that facial recognition use by police would have made a significant difference to the events we saw last week. You have people here who are wearing balaclavas. It's at night time. You have also people that are very well known to the guards already. I think it's somewhat of a distraction. The government has already accepted that it doesn't have the legal basis to introduce facial recognition technology under current legislation. And it's talking about legislation that might be published sometime next year. So I think that that's a debate we will have next year. But I think the Oireachtas Justice Committee has made absolutely clear that we won't have any police use of facial recognition technology in Ireland until all of the various human rights issues are very carefully considered by the Oireachtas. So I think any announcements about what the government might want to do next year are fairly speculative at this point in time.
All right, so a word of warning there from Liam Herrick. Now, separately, there's been renewed focus and commentary on whether there were signs that something like what happened last Thursday was brewing, Brian, particularly around the activities of certain groups.
Yes, if we look back over the past year, in September, for example, several people were charged, as we know, following protests at Leinster House. We've also had issues at vaccination centres, at centres, for example, housing refugees. And then as well, over the past year, Clare, libraries have also been targeted. Now, some are asking whether the response response to library protests could have been stronger in hindsight. Cork libraries faced multiple incidents over the past years. Groups and sometimes individuals objected to certain material on the shelves. The main city library on Grand Parade was forced to close twice in the past year. I'd approached library staff in recent days. None of them felt comfortable speaking either on or off the record about their experiences. Many feel that since the riots, for example, in Dublin on Thursday, there's a heightened sense of fear around this issue. One person who did speak to me is Assistant General Secretary with the trade union FORSA, and that's Liz Fay. She's responsible for local government members in Cork City and County, so that would include library staff. She's a former librarian herself, and she feels lessons need to be learned. She wanted to express the fear, Claire, that she feels staff continue to feel. And the protests began, as we know, in Cork online initially, and then they switched to in person.
Unfortunately, in Cork City, what we saw were a number of people who chose to operate as a collective and to utilise their right, as they see it, to protest. And this included going into a library, disrupting the peace of the library, being quite vocal and quite disruptive towards members of the public that were using the library services, and focusing on members of staff as well. An awful lot of their interactions with staff were recorded, oftentimes without staff consent or without staff knowledge, and these were then edited, heavily edited, and circulated freely across social media platforms to the extent where members of the public would see a certain librarian and would approach them on the street when they're going about their own personal business in their own free time, and echoing the sentiments and the false accusations of paedophilia, grooming, etc., that the protesters would originally have labelled the librarians with.
And it led to libraries closing down here for a short period of time.
It did. These protests became more regular in nature. Rather than the ad hoc, we're getting off the bus, we'll hop in with the sign, they started to organise. And this led to a number of events, a number of protests. That second incident saw a number of people congregate outside the door. It got a bit scary for staff. There was a health and safety risk assessment that was done by the city council. So on that day, the doors did close for an hour or two. The third incident was again an organised protest, I should say, together with a counter demonstration. The library service undertook again a health and safety risk assessment and determined that it would be better if they were to close their doors. So it's all coming from a GDPR standpoint, a health and safety standpoint, how to protect people as best you can.
So three significant protests outlined there, but the staff are still dealing with incidents, are they?
They are. I mean, I was in the City Library yesterday on Grand Parade. Noticeable there's a security presence now as you just go inside the front door. There have been issues, as we know, at different libraries in Kerry, for example, in Dublin. But as Liz said, one of the reasons staff are so afraid to speak out is that they feel they're still being targeted and they've had to learn how to adapt and how to deal with this.
FORSA have engaged with the Garda Commissioner. We have engaged with the Assistant Garda Commissioner for Community Policing. So we are assured that they are active and they are keeping an eye.
Is there extra security measures in place?
Some libraries will have put in extra security measures. Others would have already had a security presence and would have amplified that a little bit. Risk assessments are being utilised more dynamically. Looking back, I suppose, with a little bit of hindsight, yes, there could have been something to our minds that could have been done a lot swifter. It's very difficult, and I can't imagine what it would be like to try to manage that situation from a public policing perspective. But the members of the public have to feel assured that the Garda Síochána Conor will protect them, and that they will protect their services, and they will protect the people who are providing those services. So where you have people who are manning vaccination centres, where you have people who are just working in a private bookshop or in a private pharmacy, who are facing these protesters in much the same way as our members in the library services are, you have to wonder at what stage does it become enabling of the protesters versus protecting the public peace.
Where's that balance for you?
That balance for me would be in ensuring that everybody is kept as safe as possible. And that means safe from hate speech, safe from the fear of, you know, having a greater, wider public grouping come together and protest at your right to exist, at your right to be, at your right to feel safe. So, like I said, I don't imagine it's going to be an easy one or an easy chord to strike, but it would be helpful if there was more engagement between library authorities and the local community policing to ensure that there's more of a presence.
Liz Fay there from Forza. And Brian, you approached Cork City Council and the Gardaí for a response. So what do they say?
Well, I'd asked the Cork City Council a series of questions around how many incidents, for example, they've recorded in the past year, what kind of measures they've had to put in place, how much additional security, how much that's cost. And then I asked them to respond to Forza, who said to me that they felt there could be better engagement with union reps. Now, the City Council didn't specifically address a number of those questions, but they did say the health and safety of their library patrons and staff has and continues to be of primary concern. In response to a number of protests, they have conducted risk assessments. They've implemented revisions to their ongoing procedures on foot of these, and they've listened to staff concerns on an ongoing basis. And they say they've fully supported their dedicated staff by keeping them updated on their response. And they have the provision as well of additional training and welfare programmes. As you said, I did as well get in touch with the Garda Press Office, because there were those significant number of incidents at libraries in Cork, and I asked if they're pursuing charges against anyone in relation to any of the protests at libraries in Cork in the past year. They told me to continue to investigate a number of incidents which occurred at public buildings in Cork City in recent months. These are ongoing investigations, so that's as far as they were willing to go.
All right, Brian, thank you very much. That's Brian O'Connell reporting there. Coming up next on the programme, plans to extend VAR's use to checking corners, free kicks and yellow cards, but could that mean matches will be going on for over 2 hours? Ken Early after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.